thank you, God, that we can come together as your people. We ask you now that you will help us as we look at this book of Philippians again, this passage, this famous, well-known passage. We ask that the Holy Spirit will stamp the truths on our heart, and we will understand well, so well that we will seek to apply the truths of your word in our daily walk with you, Lord Jesus. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Years ago, I went on an adventure with a group of friends, a bunch of guys and one girl, group of friends. We went canoeing along the Macquarie River from Burrendong Dam to Dubbo. It's about 70 to 80 kilometres. It took us almost a week. That's how slow we were. There's a map there. There's a picture of me, not to scale, in case you're wondering. It rained, like this week, it rained all week, and the rivers were roaring with white water rapids. So to keep us safe from the very beginning of the journey, we all pulled on, or we all put on our life jacket. So you get the idea of putting on. What else can we put on? We can put on an act, put on the kettle if we like tea, we can put on a seatbelt, we can put on weight. Ever since I started here, I have been putting on weight, eating lots of noodles that I keep choosing to have at lunch after church on Sunday. So you can easily put on weight. But today, the topic is putting on humility. To put on humility. Humility. There's a couple of ways of looking at humility or this state of mind. So let me tell you, because I just want to clear this up before we move into the Bible passage, because it's very important that we understand this, okay? So there's a couple of ways of looking at it. First, humility is not thinking poorly of yourself necessarily. So humility is not saying something like, I am no good at anything. See, we think humility equals low confidence, low self-esteem. But low confidence, low self-esteem might be because of pride. Pride is you're worried what other people think. You're worried about your looks, how you might sound, making a mistake. The root cause is not humility. It's pride. Let me give you an example. You might not get baptized, or you might not serve on stage here publicly because you're worried about what other people think. That does not come from a place of humility. That comes from a place of self, of pride. And so I remember years ago, a pastor, regularly in the church service, he would ask volunteers to pray. But if he heard you talk about that you're worried about what other people think of you when you're on stage, he would stop asking you. Because the last thing he wanted was people on stage leading others in prayer who were always thinking about themselves and how they looked. Now, of course, the flip side is you can be confident, you could be high achieving, you could be successful, and you could be humble. There are a lot of Christians in that category, and you probably know some, who are confident, who are high achieving, who in this life are successful, but at the same time, they're humble. Humble before God. Someone once said, humility is not thinking less of ourselves. Humility is thinking of ourselves less. I like that quote. Okay, so that's the first thing I want to say, just to clear it up about humility and humidity, in case you're feeling a little bit hot and sweaty, but humility. Now, the second thing I want to say is humility stands out in our self-assertive, brash, uncompromising culture. Sydney is self-assertive, brash, uncompromising in many different ways. Humility, especially humility before God, stands out in this context. So humility in this culture is all about my rights, my way, survival of the fittest. You know, just try and find a park at lunchtime in Burwood and you know what I mean. Survival of the fittest. Yeah. Humility, especially before God, counters this culture. So humility in God's economy, and we read it today in verse 3, is valuing others above yourselves. It's serving others. It's thinking of others, like, what are their interests? Humility. Humility doesn't mean killing your dreams. Humility is gaining perspective. It's understanding our place in this world. It's recognizing our human frailty. It's understanding that we aren't in control of everything. We aren't the master of our domain. We ain't in charge. We are not God. It's humility. Humility is realizing that every good gift from above is from God. That's humility. Humility is humbling yourself, listening to God, obeying His word, being thankful to God. Humility. Thankful for our strength. Thankful for our eyesight, our hearing. Thankful to God for our mental health. Thankful to God for the air we breathe. Thankful to God for what we have, for our family. That's humility. It's the act of, I am under God and I thank God. Humility. Humility. Humility is the key to relating to God. Salvation requires humility. And humility is not optional. God doesn't go, hey guys, I request that you have humility. No, God commands it. Who He is, He demands it. He expects it. He expects us to understand our place in this world, that we are under God. We think about society. A lot of people don't, do they? They don't, do they? Don't understand that. A couple of quotes that caught my attention this week. Including C.S. Lewis. Some of you have read some of his books. Really clever guy of the past. Said some very insightful things, including, a proud man is always looking down on things and people. And of course, as long as you are looking down, you cannot see something that is above you. And that is God is above you. You know that song, How Great Is Our God? How great is our God? You cannot write that from a place of pride. On some level, you've got to have humility to declare God's great. He is above you. Another quote that caught my attention was from an old-timer, Jonathan Edwards, one of my peers, you know. I didn't grow up with him, but anyway, a couple of hundred years ago, Jonathan Edwards, he said, nothing sets a person so much out of the devil's reach as humility. So if you're having an issue with the devil, you're saying, you know, the evil one is giving me trouble, humble yourself before God. He will scatter. He can't do anything. So people cry all the time, the devil made me do it. But if you humble yourself before God, the devil can't make you do anything. He is stuck. He goes bush. He can't do it. And so the topic today from our passage is put on humility. Now, in the Bible is loaded with phrases about humility. Let me change this. The Bible speaks of clothing yourself in humility, fearing God and humbling yourself, imitating Christ's humility. The Bible also talks about sinners come to God in humility, but I chose put on. I got this from reading the book of Colossians, chapter 4, and I like this term put on because it's very much like an action, like clothing, put on clothing. And I think it corresponds well with our passage today in Philippians. And it's what I'm trying to preach today, to put on humility. And the fastest way to put on is to look at Jesus. I have three headings today from verses 3 to 11. The first one is look to the interests of others. Put on humility. Have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. And third, bow now to Jesus or bow later with consequences. Okay, so we'll take one at a time. We'll kick off with the first one, which is look to the interests of others. Put on humility, look to the interests of others. So looking is like looking across the room. It is not looking down. It's putting ourselves in the shoes of others. It's having empathy for them. Love, patience, thinking of them, valuing, as it says in verse 3, valuing others above yourselves. Because what you think of others dramatically affects how you treat them. Thinking of others above yourselves. And so Paul, he writes to the Philippi, the church in Philippi. Now, Philippi was in the Roman Empire. And like today, the Roman Empire in the first century was all about my rights, my way, gladiator arenas, survival of the fittest. You might have seen the movie. And the head of the pack of the Roman Empire were the emperors. Some were good, most were bad. Most were cruel, most were corrupt. Most were self-absorbed, were all about self-worship. They were the influencers of the day. And because influencers have a lot of influence, they were causing a lot of problems in society and they were causing a lot of problems in the early church. And people were grabbing power. People were showing favoritism. Now, the book of Philippians isn't half as bad as some of the other early churches, but there was still the possibility of selfish ambition, vain conceit. You know, my appearance, vain conceit. My achievements, my trophies, my mirror on the wall. Who's the finest of them all? Me, myself, I. And so Paul writes, eyes off your belly button. Stop the navel gazing. Beware of acting like little Roman emperors. He's saying, look across the room. Have empathy. Rejoice when others rejoice. Celebrate when they make progress in their Christian life. Serve them. He's saying, look to the interest of others. Look to the interests of others. I've been thinking about that this week in relation to our situation. And I was thinking, what might prevent us from looking to the interests of others? You and me, what might prevent us from looking to the interests of others? Let me start with if you're younger, and by younger I mean younger high school, okay? Early high school. What might prevent you? Boy and girl germs. It's fun to talk about boy and girl germs. You know, I hear it every now and then here. It's fun and it's okay. But beware, don't talk about it too much. Don't get too caught up in it because it might prevent you from looking to the interests of others, valuing other people. But what if you're older? What if, say, you're a working adult? What might prevent you and me from looking to the interests of others? I think, from my observation, it can be turning our boundaries into brick walls. And so boundaries, you know what boundaries are? We all have boundaries in our life to keep us safe. Now, even those who say they don't have boundaries, we all have some level of boundaries in our life. But sometimes our boundaries are so thick, they become like impenetrable brick walls. And it's hard to see the interests of others through a brick wall. It's hard for others to see your interests through a brick wall. And so I guess the message for all of us is boundaries are fine. You know, there's a lot of stranger danger out there, a lot of problems. And so on some level, we need some boundaries. And so they're fine, but we've got to make sure that they're still, on some level, see-through. So we can see the interests of others, and then others can see the interests of us. And so beware of making your boundary walls so thick that they become like brick walls. Yeah, because I guess we might do that because we've been hurt and we don't want to be hurt again. And I think that happens a lot when you're an older adult. But if we work hard at making our boundaries see-through, it makes for better fellowship. Yeah. Because Christians need you. Christians need your affection. Christians need your attention. We need each other in each other's space. We need to hear each other's voice. Because remember our culture. Our culture is self-assertive, brash, uncompromising. Think of housing affordability, uncompromising. It's hard and we need each other. We need to be able to move between our boundaries and the interests of others. We need to be able to see the interests of others. So how's it going? Looking to the interests of others. We might say, yeah. Self-interest is much easier. It just comes so much more naturally to be self-interested, doesn't it? Let's be honest. It becomes so much more natural. It feels good. So someone might say, why should I bother looking to the interests of others? Why should I bother? Well, the answer to that question is, that's exactly what Jesus did. See, believers and unbelievers agree. Looking to the interests of others is honourable. It's noble. People are doing that now with Gaza and Israel, regardless of which side you're on. People are doing that now, looking to the interests of others right now. But believers and unbelievers disagree on the reason why. See, for the believer, our reason why is Jesus. He's the reason. He is who motivates us to look to the interests of others. And that's what our next point is about. Paul talks about have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. He's talking to believers. He's saying have the same mindset. So mind, set. The mind sets my goals. The mind triggers my behaviour. The mind is where I make my decisions. The mind. The mind matters. I mean, Christians, we love the mind. We study the Word. We fill our minds with the Word. We must never underestimate the mind. So have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus, He is the definition of humility. If we look up at the Bible dictionary on humility, we're going to see a picture of Jesus there. Because He is the most humble, the most other person-centered human being who became fully man in human history. Jesus, who in very nature God, verses 5 to 8, who in very nature God, think about Jesus, who from the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, Jesus, who very nature God, what could He have done with all that power and privilege and prestige? What would you and I have done with all that power that Jesus had? But He, Jesus, He didn't consider equality with God something to look down on others. Rather, He made Himself nothing. He took on the very nature of humanity. You know, scholars spend all their time talking about, from this passage, a lot of scholars talk about where Jesus came from. And yes, that is right. But the point of this passage is what Jesus became. He made Himself nothing. He became like us. Human likeness. He was found to be a man. Found as a man. He who was ascended, God, fully God, descended into the shape of a baby bloke. Jesus. He was born at Christmas time. He grew, He loved, He had compassion, He did miracles, He served others, their interests, He faced opposition, He humbly suffered death on a cross to pay the penalty for our rebellion, our sin, though He Himself was without sin. Jesus, this passage is all about Jesus. He put on humility. And so Paul is crying to the Philippians and to us here today, imitate Jesus. He's saying in verse 5, in your relationship with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. And so we might ask to have. To have is to meditate on Jesus, to study the scriptures, to pray for wisdom that we can understand the Bible. To have. To have is to talk to others in church fellowship about Jesus, to sing about Jesus, which we've done this morning, to love Jesus, to obey His command. That is what it means to have. That is how we have. See, this is not another a thing to add to the do list. Every now and then after sermon, people say, oh, it's just another thing to do, another thing to do, another thing to do. This, Jesus, is not another thing to add to our do list. Jesus is about thinking about Jesus, meditating on Jesus. And then when we do that, when our mind is on Jesus, the Holy Spirit fills us. And then in our relationship with others, we can't help but cultivate humility. Does that make sense? Looking at Jesus cultivates humility, grows humility. Humility is a natural outworking of meditating on Jesus and His Word. See, the law of effort is try harder, harder, harder. Be humble, humble, humble. Write it out 100 lines on the board. 100. Must be humble, must be humble. That's the law of effort. But grace is look at Jesus and He will change you. And you be humble. Cultivate humility. And so Paul's writing to the Philippians. This is necessary for him to write this because of the potential of disunity in the church at that time. Because of the Roman Empire, disunity in lots of situations in the church was, the potential of it was through the roof. In fact, the potential of disunity in any empire is through the roof in Australia today. So this is very relevant to all of us. So how do we protect ourselves, our church? How do we protect our individual Christian friendships from disunity, from breaking down, from smashing? How do we protect it? Well, we look at Jesus. We think about Jesus. We have the same mindset of Jesus. And what happens is this cultivates humility in us by the power of the Holy Spirit, and we can't help but get better at looking at the interests of others. And it all starts with Jesus, not the law of effort. Yeah, so you can see this, have the same mindset of Christ Jesus. Let's go to our last point, verses 9 to 11. Put on humility. Bow to Jesus. Bowing involves the knee. The knees of the heart. Because sometimes around the world, people in religion might bow their knee physically. But I think bowing to Jesus involves the heart. You've got to bow on the heart. The deepest of the deep, on the heart. And the reason we bow is because Jesus is the greatest. Someone in history once said, "I am the greatest." No, Jesus is the greatest. Because of his humility, as it says in verse 9, God exalted him to the highest place. We sang about that today. His name, highest place. God bestowed upon him, lifted Jesus, promoted Jesus to the highest place, and you cannot get higher than the highest place. The highest place is at the right hand of the Father. The highest place is a heavenly vindication of who Jesus is and what he has done. The highest place makes it abundantly clear that human pride is pointless. The highest place, everything else is below. The highest place means, as it says in verses 9 to 11, his name is above every other name. That is the name that God gave him. Every other name is below the soles of his sandals. Far below. His name is above my name, your name, the Prime Minister's name, your favourite celebrity's name. The cutest guy in the world, his name is above his name. The cutest girl in the world, his name is above her name. Because his name is above every other name, his name is eternal. His name is forever. No one's ever going to displace his name. No one's ever going to overthrow his name with a coup. No one's ever going to steal away his name. His name is the only name that counts. He is the Lord, the boss, the king, the ruler, the reigner, the saviour. He is the CHO. Have you heard of the CHO? You've heard of the CEO, chief executive officer. Jesus is the chief heavenly officer. His name is above all names. And so, verses 9 to 11, we are called to bow, every knee to bow. Bow the knees of our hearts. And we know that is believe in Jesus. Believe in Jesus. Because I think sometimes we act like we're the centre of the universe. I know I do. That's what we do. We act like we're the centre of the universe. We are not the centre of the universe. Jesus is the centre of the universe. And so we bow, we put on humility. And here's the thing, and this could be a little bit uncomfortable to hear, but it's very, very true, that if we're not going to bow now, because Jesus' name is at the highest place, we will bow later. Again, this is a little bit uncomfortable, but I think it is important to hear this, that if we're not going to bow now, we will bow later. So think of the most fabulous celebrity in our world, from Hollywood to K-pop, whoever they are, they will bow. If not now, they will bow to Jesus later, because his name is... The angels are going to rip their lips apart, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God. And this will be forced by the truth and the position of his name. Even those under the earth, even those who are dead in their grave, will be forced by this truth to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God. So atheism teaches that when you die, you cease to exist, that's it. Christianity teaches when you die, you don't cease to exist. You will either go to heaven or you will go to eternal punishment, to hell. And so if you have died, you will still be forced to declare, confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. See, it's a deception living in a wealthy society. We think we have choice. We don't have choice. We will bow to Jesus. If not now, it will be later, with consequences. Eternal punishment for rejecting Jesus while here on earth. But here's the wonderful truth. The wonderful truth, church, we love, God so loved the world, and so we declare the wonderful truth. This is our focus, that we are called to bow now. To believe in Jesus, to understand our place in the world under God, to put on humility. And if we have put on humility, to keep on bowing, to keep on meditating on Jesus, thinking about Jesus, having the same mindset as Jesus. That's what we're called to do, to bow. And so, there we were. In closing, my group of friends, a squadron of canoeists, the Burrendong Dam was our starting point. The water was raging. White water was raging. The water was screaming obscenities at us in the waves, yeah? And our group of friends, yeah, it was a risk. But we took the risk. We pushed off the edge. We set out, but what a scene. Bodies flung from seats, luggage flying through the air, canoes overturned. What took 2 minutes to start a trip took us a couple of hundred metres further down the river, 2 hours to dry out as much as we could and repair the damage. But here's the good news. All my friends who came with us are still here today because we put on our life jackets. The call today is not to put on life jackets, though you can see kind of the connection of safety. It's to put on humility, to understand our place in the world, to gain a perspective, to bow our hearts to Jesus now. And if we have bowed our hearts to have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. And then through looking to Jesus, with the help of the Holy Spirit, to look to the interests of others, safe in the arms of God. That is the call. Let's pray.